I put this message together a few days ago, and it happens every time I put a message together, and God starts to bring things to my memory. And boy, He said, you may better examine yourself. You may better look at yourself. So every message I put together, I'll put that message together and I'll say, oh, this is looking good. And then God will bring things to my remembrance and say, you better be clear. You better be under, people better understand what you're saying. So I put this message together and I simply entitled it Pride. It's Pride Month, the month of June. And that's part of the reason I put this message together about pride. I posted on Facebook things that I'm proud of. I'm proud of these two graduates we got sitting here today. Leah, Darby Joe. I'm proud of that. But that's not pride in sin. That's pride in accomplishment.
Yes.
And when you begin to understand God's sovereignty, you understand that we're instruments of that sovereignty. Not long ago, I posted a picture of a young lady I know. And in the midst of some of the greatest failures of my life, God still used me as an instrument. He still used me to do certain things, to change certain things to His will. Some of you may have seen it, some of you may have not, and it really doesn't matter. It is what it is. I can't change it. But in that, in the way it worked out, it excludes me from boasting. It excludes me from taking the credit. God used me as an instrument in my greatest failure to accomplish His will. So all I can say is there's one less of the ABC community today because of how God used me. And I give Him all the credit and I give Him all the glory. So there's no pride there for me. It's all God. I'm proud of God. I'm proud of my mother. I'm proud of these flowers that she put together up here for our upcoming meeting. It looks great. I'm glad that she's an instrument as well. So I'm proud of those graduates. I made a bell a couple of days ago, and I was pretty proud of that bell. You know, and I took that thing to the market, and within 10 minutes, it sold. You know, and got thinking about that. That's one of the things the Lord confronted me on. And I got to realizing it was God that taught me how to weld. It was God that put me in the position to be a welder one day. It was God that gave me the inspiration on how to do that and the skill on how to put it together. And I'm proud of that, that God did that for me. A couple of years ago, I planted a big patch of tomatoes, and boy, those tomatoes got this big. I was so proud. And once again, God says, you know, you might have planted those. You might have watered them. But it was God that gave the increase. It was God that made those tomatoes grow the way they did. You know, I could have planted and plowed and watered, and they failed. But it was God that made them produce. And you see, that's in sovereignty. A lot of people don't understand the sovereignty of God. You're sitting here today, and you're sitting in that pew, and you're breathing in and out, because sometime, way before that God made the earth, He predestined it to be so. You're here for a reason. You're here because God willed you to be here. And if you were to get up and walk out now, it would be because God willed it to be so. That's the difference between us and the Armenian Baptist. We give God the glory for all, for everything, for every breath, for every life. He deserves that credit.
Amen.
It's not those that will, those that run. It's God that gives the increase. It's God that deserves the glory. Turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 18. I'm gonna paraphrase a quick story here for you concerning pride. Genesis chapter 18, and we'll start reading there around verse 20. To bring you up to speed, this is when the Lord visited Abraham. You know, Abraham and Lot's herdsmen had a quarrel, so they decided to part ways. Well, not long after that, the Lord came to Abraham with two angels. I'm not going to nitpick about what you think they are. Some say it was the Lord, some say it was angels. It was God's sovereignty. And they come, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is grievous. And I don't have to tell you what sin that is. But their sin was grievous. And he said, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces hence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. They was heading to Sodom, but then Abraham got in the way. Wait a minute. Let's talk about this for a minute. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He asked the Lord a question. Will you destroy righteous people because of the grievous sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? Free adventure, there will be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and spare not the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous, I'm going to spare it. I'll spare that city for the sake of 50 righteous people. And if you want to see a picture of the day and the time that we live in today, that's it. We have a pride month that puts sin on a good level instead of where it belongs. They're proud of what they do. Just like they did in Sodom. They were proud of everything they did. They didn't need no God to tell them right or wrong. They were a God unto themselves. I never thought I'd see live in a country. Let me say this. Pride is the number one of the seven major deadly sins. Pride is a sin. It's a sin. Why is it a sin? Because it replaces God with man. That's why Satan fell. I will ascend up on high. I am the beautiful one. I can do all. Lucifer fell and became Satan because of pride. Because he thought he was equal with God. That's the definition of pride. You need no God. So this conversation continued. And it went on and on. And Abraham said, well, you will destroy 45 righteous with the wicked. No. Will you destroy 40? No. And it went on down to, I believe, 10, 5. God said, if I find five righteous souls there, I will not destroy it. Listen, why do you think the judgment of God has not fallen on this country? A country that puts pride as a good thing. I believe it's because there's a few righteous churches still left.
Amen.
There's at least five. But I look for the judgment of God to fall. And we all know how the story turned out. Then men went there and they were accosted by the Sodomites. And instead of God destroying Lot, He pulled him out. And that's the picture that we see is going to happen to this nation. When God's had enough, He's going to pull us out. So the filthy conversation doesn't vex our soul. I was so amazed when Nickelodeon was on the television and they would have pride commercials on there. I'm not proud of myself by any means, but I am proud of what God's done in my life, even among my many failures. Proud of God. I'm proud of what God did on the cross for me. For all those failures that I have. Listen, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. These high and mighty people that think they are God and they can do anything they want are soon to be destruction. They're soon to have a fall. Even some of their own community is now rejecting it. And that tells you there might be some saved people in that community. God may pull them out too. So I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you what pride is. God forbid we march in the street for sin. For the cause of sin. God forbid we dress our children in that kind of clothes. Hey, listen, if you think your vote counts, the money you hold in your wallet counts more. More. Stop using those people. Stop commercing with people that put sin on a high level in pride. I'll go to the pond and catch a fish before I go to the Kroger and buy it there. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. Better to be of a humble spirit than the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. Mark chapter 7, verse 21-23, the Lord says, the Bible says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride. Do you see pride lumped in with all that sin? foolishness. And that's what pride brings. Foolishness. All that above is foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile man. That's pride. Yes. Pride defiles you. To say, I'm the best. I'm the best preacher there is around here. That's pride. Right. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed in humility. For God resisteth the proud. God resists the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. What's your spirit today? Spirit of pride? Or is it a spirit of humility? You can put God in His proper place. You can put, or you like Satan and you think, I'll sit on that throne. Hey, listen. Satan now, he doesn't care of the destruction of the whole earth. That's what he wants. He'll rule over the ashes. And that's where we're headed. Second Timothy 3:2. Says for in the end times, in the last times, that men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. They'll be disobedient to their parents. They'll be unthankful and unholy. I didn't put proud into all that. God put it there. He's trying to tell you that pride is a sin. And that word pride is one of those, much like that, the word lucky, we talked about it. Brother Isaiah gave me a good substitute for that word, fortunate, I believe what she said. I remember that to this day. But pride is one of those two-edged swords. I find myself using that word, I'm proud of this, I'm proud of that, but it's in the context of righteousness. And not the context that it's me that caused all this good to happen. It's God's sovereignty that caused all this good to happen. You're just an instrument of it. Any good thing you've done in your life is because God told you to do it, let you do it, put you in that place to do it. And I thank God for those times. I wish they were more than the bad. Unfortunately, that's not the case. One man wrote, pride is the deadliest of all sins because it leads to all other sins. Pride is delusional. That ABC crowd, that's all that is delusion. A man cannot become a woman, and a woman cannot become a man. And we're not to accept that because it goes against God and His Word. Amen. Pride is delusional, spiteful, and bitter. And regardless of what they say, if they had their way, we'd be gone. They want us out of their way. And they can say, oh, we love everybody, we'll treat everybody equal and all. It's all garbage. They want you dead. They don't want you to say you're a sinner. That's sin. They don't want to hear that. They're spiteful and bitter. At its root, it declares, I don't want God. I don't want God to be God. just like Satan. I want to be God. Just like Satan. Sinful pride is refusing to recognize God's sovereign role in everything. Everything. Good pride is recognizing that apart from God, you can do nothing. And it gives a scripture of John 5:15. And therefore, giving God the glory for all things you accomplish. Anything you do good, anything you make decides, anything you money you bring in, it's because of God. The air you breathe, the diaphragm that works your lungs, because of God. The sin of pride is preoccupation with self. The sin of pride is preoccupation with self. It's thus very fitting that the middle letter in the word is I. Pride is all about me, myself, and I. So even as the word pride is centered upon I, the sin itself is also centered upon I. It's I. I'm going to try to make sure I'm not missing any points. Chapter 4. This will be the last verse I cover today. I want everybody to recognize the pride of sin. It's plain and simple. It's all in the Word of God. It's all in the Bible. Pride cometh before destruction. 1 Timothy 4. First, we'll start at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that now, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Those people don't regret anything they do. They think it's good. They're in delusion. Yeah. They put good in place of evil. They forbid to marry. They command to abstain from meat. Don't eat meat. If you think the LGBT community is bad, wait till you run into the vegan community. They're just as bad. They think you're a murderer. But the Bible says, what God created to be received with thanksgiving are meat. I thank God for the meat we had this week. That He created the animals that gave us life so to sustain my life. Be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. That's us. For every creature of God is good and nothing's to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. That's why it's important to pray over your meals. That's why it's important to pray over your food. Because that prayer makes it good. It's not to be refused. That's why we eat pork this day. I believe there's a story in the Old Testament where there was some poison in the pot. Maybe it was, and he prayed over that, stirred it up. Good man, nobody died. I'll have to look into that story. I believe the preacher might know it, but There's poison in that pot. Where it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And this country's not destroyed because there's a few left that believe everything I've said this day. There's some sanctified people still left. There's some sanctified churches. There's some churches that still follow what God's pattern and plan was for the future of His body. People that pray over the food. People that know pride is a sin. I appreciate your attention today. This was a hard message for me to preach. It was because it involves some things that I'm not proud of in my past. But like I said, even in your worst times, God, if you're one of God, if you want to believe Romans that all things happen for the good of those that love God and recall according to His purpose, that's what we believe. That all things happen to the good, for the good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. And we sit here today, and God's judgment is once again staged on our nation because He put us here to recognize Him. And with that, I'm going to close. Brother David.